This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The best bits of Joy Drive with Em and Warren. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
Now, 15% of the world's population, or one in seven people, are affected by IBS, irritable bowel syndrome. And one of the recommendations for people with IBS is to go on the low FODMAP diet. Well, what are FODMAPs and how does avoiding them benefit those with IBS?
Dr. Vincent Ho, the gut doctor on Joy Drive.
Dr. Vincent Ho, good afternoon.
Hi, Warren.
Good to have you back. Now, before we get into the conversation, can you just give us an overview about IBS? What is it?
Look, IBS is, as you mentioned, a very common problem. It affects about one in seven adults worldwide. It's what we call a functional gastrointestinal problem. In other words, it's an issue to do with the function of the gut rather than a structural problem. In other words, people can have investigations of the bowel, things like scopes, for example, and they won't find anything. There won't be any pathology to be found. But it doesn't mean that it's not a real condition. People certainly get symptoms. We know that there are many triggers for it as well, including, of course, stress and anxiety, and, of course, diet. And this is where there is a role for dietary modification here.
Vincent, what are the symptoms of IBS?
So the classic symptoms of IBS include bloating, abdominal distension, excess wind or flatulence. People can get abdominal pain, and they often can get altered bowel habits like diarrhea or constipation.
So, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, and maybe this is speaking to the fact that I probably have IBS, but doesn't everyone have like some level of IBS?
Yeah, so that's exactly right. I mean, so with that, these are symptoms that people have on a more, a more persistent basis.
Right.
So really, when we look at IBS, we're talking about people who have these symptoms on a more chronic basis. So if you've had these for several months and it affects your quality of life, then that, by definition, is irritable bowel syndrome. Of course, these symptoms are extremely common. Things like, you know, bloating and excess wind, very, very common symptoms that people experience.
Vincent, so what are FODMAPs and why do we need a low FODMAP diet if we do suffer from IBS?
So really, FODMAPs are a large group of sugars. They're actually found in many foods. So we find them in types of foods, so things like dairy products, wheat, grains, fruit, and vegetables. The reason why they tend to cause symptoms is because they're poorly absorbed in the small bowel. So what happens is they pass along to the large colon, really undigested. They're fermented by bacteria. They produce a lot of gas. And that gas production, you get wind, that bloating, and the discomfort that's often experienced. So that's how they work.
So just on the sugars, does that include some of the ones that are potentially used as artificial sweeteners, like the sorbitol and the mannitol? Because I know when I have those, I am straight to the toilet within 50 minutes.
Absolutely. In fact, what you mentioned there, sorbitol, xylitol, a lot of those things are found in as sweeteners, found in chewing gum, for example. They're actually a type of FODMAP called polyols. In fact, the P part of FODMAPs stands for polyols. There's other components of the FODMAP groups which are important. So things, for example, like the fermentable foods. So there's lots of those which exist. And, of course, the oligosaccharides, things like fructans, which contain a lot of fructose, you know, things like apples and mangoes, pears, watermelons. They're very rich in those types of sugars, and they're often poorly absorbed and frequently result in symptoms. People may not realize it, but it can result in a lot of symptoms.
So what happens when you eat FODMAPs and they potentially don't agree with you?
Yeah, so what happens, if it doesn't agree with you, then of course you can get symptoms. So the types of symptoms that you can get include feeling that discomfort, a lot of excess gas, which people can experience. So those are the sorts of things that classically can be experienced with consumption of FODMAPs. But of course, there can be other symptoms that people can experience as well. So we're talking about, you know, altered bowel habits.
But Vincent, if you don't have IBS, then FODMAPs are fine to eat?
Yeah, so generally speaking, there's no issues with taking FODMAPs if you don't have IBS. We know people with IBS tend to be more sensitive to stimuli, so that, you know, your gut, for example, can stretch more so than someone else in response to gas. So they tend to be more sensitive in general, people with IBS.
We're chatting with Dr. Vincent Ho, gastroenterologist from Western Sydney University, about FODMAPs and what benefit it brings if you avoid them in your diet. Now, Vincent, we're talking about avoiding all these sugar groups, basically. How is that a difficult thing to do? Is a FODMAP diet hard to do?
Yeah, it can be quite challenging for people. So because the thing is, it's often a significant change in terms of what they've been consuming for a long time. But I think that what is important here is getting the support of an accredited dietitian. I think that is important, because often there may be simple changes that people can make to their diet. For example, if you're really used to consuming a lot of lactose, you know, with dairy, which is a classic part of the FODMAPs, you know, ice cream and yogurt, you can still consume dairy, but you would have less of, obviously less of that. You might have more almond milk, for example, lactose-free milk, or maybe more hard cheeses. Hard cheeses are okay.
Plenty. I love cheese.
Yeah. So,
do you see significant changes in your clients who go on the FODMAP diet or the low FODMAP diet? Do you see positive improvement?
Yeah. Absolutely. So what actually happens for most people is that they actually go on to that low, it's a staged approach. So people will go on to a staged approach where they swap their high FODMAP foods for a low FODMAP alternative. And so they will usually go on that for about 6 weeks. And if the symptoms get better, then they go on to the next step, which is where they can start to reintroduce their FODMAP. So it's basically they get a FODMAP challenge. They can reintroduce one particular FODMAP at a time. And if that's the case, for example, they might introduce like an apple or a pear or something like that, and that can, if that triggers off symptoms, then they may learn to avoid that. And so eventually they'll come up with their final diet, which is much more comprehensive and actually means that they can do pretty well on that kind of diet. It's not ultra restricted.
Dr. Vincent, can a low FODMAP diet benefit those who don't have IBS?
Yes, it can. I mean, it certainly can. But we are learning, of course, that when you make these changes to your diet, it does result in changes to your gut microbes. So what we're learning about, of course, is that by restricting those foods with a low FODMAP diet, it does make changes to your gut microbes. So if you're someone who's healthy, enjoying a normal diet, it is possible, and this is what we're learning about, that there may be some of those changes made to your microbiome. We don't exactly know how that's going to play out down the track.
Right.
So my advice is that if you've got symptoms, if you've got IBS, then definitely worth trialing the low FODMAPs diet. If you don't, there's really no benefit in going on to it.
Right.
You can still have the ice cream.
Exactly, you can. Go for it. That's medically endorsed.
Dr. Vincent Ho, this is our last chat for the year. So thank you so much for giving up your time to talk to us each month, and have a wonderful Christmas. We'll talk to you again in February.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. That's Dr. Vincent Ho, gastroenterologist from Western Sydney University.
Joy Drive. We ask the questions so you don't have to.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.